Good morning. The scripture reading today will be Luke chapter 15, verses 25 through 32. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found."
You know, we read a lot, study a lot from Luke chapter 15. Three wonderful parables are given to us in Luke chapter 15. The third one, of course, is the parable of the prodigal son. And we do a lot of studying about the prodigal son because there are so many lessons that we can learn from it. I actually have several sermons written on the subject itself because there are so many things that can be said about it. But you know, this morning, I want to talk about another whole part of that story. In fact, I've entitled this lesson, "The Prodigal Brother." Today, we're going to talk about the other son in the story of the prodigal son. You know, this was the young man who stayed home. When the younger brother came to father and said, "Father, give me everything that is mine, and I'm going to go my way, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to." Well, the father complied. He gave him his part of the inheritance, and the young man left and went on his way. The other son stayed. The other son continued to work alongside of his father. He was where he needed to be. He was doing what he needed to do. But this young man had some problems as well. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, I guess you might say in one way, this could also be a parable about the father. Because you see, the father had a tremendous love for the rebellious son, the one who packed up and left. But he also had a great love for the son who stayed home, who turned out to also be a bad son, to be the ugly son, to be the one who gave a great problem for him as well. Some people feel that maybe this parable should have been entitled "The Parable of a Father's Love," because he showed love to both of his sons. Now, what I want us to notice is the story of the other son. The younger son has come home. We know the story about the prodigal son. He went into the far country. He wasted everything he had. He found himself in a pig pen feeding pigs, eating the feed that they would eat, and came to his senses and said, "I'm going to go home to my father where I'll have a bed and I will have food and I will serve him as a servant." That was the younger man's thinking. And he did that. The younger son has come home. He did not get the response that he was expecting. There was a great commotion to take place upon his arrival. The father was so relieved that his son had come home, and he was elated at the fact that he was back. And everyone was excited. Father kills the fatted calf. Father throws a party to celebrate this young man returning home. The older son, as I said, he's where he needs to be. He's in the field. He's doing what he needs to be doing, his job, working on the farm with the father, and now he's coming home at the end of the day from the field, and he sees what's going on. He hears the noise and sees the commotion. He calls the servant aside and he says, what's happening here? And the servant is excited and he says, oh, you're going to love this. Your brother has come home and he is here and your dad has killed the fatted calf and everybody is having a good time and celebrating the fact that he is coming home. So what did the brother do? The brother becomes angry. And he will not go into the house. He will not participate in this party. Because he is not overjoyed that his brother has come home. In fact, we find the father coming out. And he comes up to his son and he says, son, this is wonderful. Your brother has come home. Come inside and see him. And the older brother, he just basically looks at his father and he says, what? You're giving him a party? He goes out of here and wastes everything that we have all worked for so long. And you're giving him a party? You never gave a party to me. You never killed a goat and gave me a party, and I've worked for you all these many years, and I have never transgressed your law. I have never left your side. You never did anything like this for me. But this son of yours comes home. He has wasted everything that he's had, living like who knows what. And you're giving him a big feast? No, I'm not going in there. The older son had some major problems with his life. Now, let's take a look at this older brother here. There are some good things about him. He's a hard worker. I guess he has proven that over the years. He was out in the field that very day doing what he needs to be doing. The prodigal son, he has been wasting everything, and this young man has stayed home with his dad. He was probably an honest man. He was an obedient man. He said, I've never transgressed your law. I've always worked side by side with you. I've done what you have asked me to do. I have never gone against you. So as far as we know, he was a good man. Nothing is said in this story that would indicate that he had a bad character. In fact, it could be that the father's friends and neighbors may very well have said, well, he's the good son. You know, in every family, usually you'll tag somebody as being a black sheep, a wanderer, and then there's the good son. And how many parents have coined this phrase, why can't you be more like your brother? Or why can't you be more like your sister? Those are terrible words to say to a child, by the way. This could have very well happened here in this particular story. So as far as we know, the characteristics of this older brother here was probably good. But he had some problems. First of all, he got angry. Now, we're not talking about a temporary fit. You know, all children pull fits, right? Yeah. I'm not talking about a temporary fit that he's having here. This is a very deep-seated anger to the point of wrath. I'm not having any part of him. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's done to you. You know, the Greek word that is actually used here in this story is orgizo, which simply means a passionate rage. The older son here was having a passionate rage over this situation. He was so filled with rage that he was ready to burst. He felt nothing but resentment toward his brother. Instead, he should have had an attitude of joy like his father, but he didn't. Very angry. He was also pouting. Anybody in here ever pout? I'll raise my hand to that. He refused to go in and celebrate his brother's homecoming. And another thing, when he refused to go in to see his brother, he excluded himself from the fellowship he could have had with his brother and with his father and then with the whole household as well, because everybody was excited. Everybody was happy that the son had come home. So while they were all in the house merrymaking, he stood outside the door sulking. Do we see this in the church today? You better believe we do. You let someone come back to the church that we don't like. You let somebody come back and say, I have sinned, I have done wrong, I want to come back home, and you don't like that person, you're going to pout about it. I don't want these people back. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want them to be part of this church again. And it's the very same thing that this older brother was doing in this story. And yes, church, it actually happens. I have seen it happen many times. We pout. And then he had another problem. He was self-righteous. Father, these many years I have served you and I have never once transgressed your commandment at any time. I mean, look at me, Daddy. I'm the good one. I stayed here. I worked with you. I did my job. He saw nothing good about this situation. He was too busy looking at himself and what he was missing out on. There was nothing good about the brother. He had dismissed the brother. He was all bad. And he exalts himself, basically, and condemns his brother. He was also very self-centered. He was also very jealous. You never gave me a kid. You never let me have a party. You never let me bring my friends in and show them how much I appreciate them. Only a self-centered person would have that kind of pity on themselves. And that's all it is. And he said, and yet you go out and you kill the fatted calf for this one that went out and wasted everything that you had worked for all your life. It hurt him. Made him angry. Made him jealous that the father would actually honor this young man who went away, wasted it all, and then come begging to come back. In his eyes, the father did not appreciate him like he did the younger brother. And he was also filled with contempt. You picked up on the fact in this story, he didn't call him his brother. He said, this thy son. I ain't having anything to do with him. This is your son. He my brother. You let your son come back and you do all this for him and you do nothing for me, your other son? He's basically telling his father, he may be your son, but he's no brother of mine. So he stood outside angry and pouting. He cut him off. He cut himself off from the happiness and the joyful attitude that his whole household was experiencing at that time. He's just outside. And he's miserable. He's angry. And he's alone. Isn't that sad? Let me tell you something, brethren. It is hard to be a Christian alone. It is sometimes hard to be positive when you're alone. Because when you're by yourself, you're not reinforced with the positive attitudes that can come from a family, from a friend, and from a fellow church member. And you sit there just waddling in your own pity, wondering why all of this bad stuff is going on with me. why I can't be happy, why I can't have my way, why I can't do the things I want to do, and you sit there by yourself, and the more you sit there by yourself, the more miserable you become. Am I telling your story this morning by chance? It's hard to be a Christian alone. You ever wonder why Paul always took people with him on his missionary journeys? Because he knew this thing. He knew it's hard to do things like this by yourself. Isn't that sad? That this young man has brought himself to this point in life. So in this story of the prodigal son and the other prodigal son, which is basically they both are, let's do a little representation here on the story. I think Jesus is trying to get a very big picture here out to everyone. You know, he is trying to bring together the whole world under Christianity, right? Right. And we find the apostles attempting to do the very same thing. After Jesus has gone back to heaven and the church has been established, the apostles are trying to bring the world together in Christianity. And that's what Jesus, I think, is trying to do here. And I think maybe we could take this story and we could look at the prodigal son, the one that left and went out into the far country, as the Gentiles. Those who rebelled against God, who wanted nothing whatsoever to do with God. And we find the elder brother here, maybe he's representing the Jews, the ones who stayed at home and the ones who put on that righteous face, that religious face, but they were self-righteous. They didn't want the Gentiles as a part of them. They were lower class people. They shouldn't be a part of them. Wow. And then maybe we need to look at the father. Who is he in this story? Our heavenly father. The father who loved the young son who left. Same father who loves the Gentiles. The father who loved the older brother who stayed, even with all of his problems. And the father who loved the Jews. You see, the father has love for all. The father wants all to be a part of the family. But the problem is the children. We can't come together. The main purpose of this parable is to get the Jews to see the situation the way it really is in life, to show the Pharisees the attitude they actually had toward the publicans and the sinners. Instead of embracing them, teaching them, forgiving them, bringing them in, we cast them away. Just as the older brother was casting away his younger brother. You see, Jesus wants all of us to be the same. He wants all of us in his family. Even the ones that are out there who have left, he wants them to come back. And he wants us to want them to come back. Now, there's one other thing I want to talk about before I close the lesson. The father's response. When the older brother went off on daddy, told him what he thought, told him how much he didn't like what he was doing. This was the father's response. Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours. That tells me several things. You are always here. I know you didn't run away. I know you didn't go into the far country. I know you didn't waste yourself. I know you've been here. You've always been with me. And I think you always will be with me. He knew that. And then he told him something else. Everything that I have is yours. Do you know what this actually means? The dividing is done. I gave your younger brother what he had coming to him. He did with it what he wanted to do. Everything else is yours. I've already divided it up. There's not going to be another dividing. I'm not going to take what is yours now and give half of it to him. That's not going to happen. Everything that I have is yours. If that's what you're worried about, the dividing is done. And that might have been what the older brother was worried about. Younger brother has come home, he'll come home and he'll be good and he'll work and then daddy will just divide it out all over again. That is not the case here. Father has said, everything is yours. I've already given him his. And then he says something else. I am just happy that our family is together again. Now, there's no doubt in an audience of this size, there is somebody in this room who have had family issues in the past, where brothers and sisters have quarreled and separated, parents and children have quarreled and separated, and the family has been split and divided and broken. And then for one reason or the other, it has come back together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And don't you feel so much better when all your children are sitting around the table and your whole family is there? That's why Dad was so happy. He has his whole family again. Son, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. I'm not taking anything away from you. I'm just glad to have my whole family again. And believe me, friends, the older you get and the larger your family gets, the more important that becomes to you. And it was to him. Sadly enough, we have a lot of elder brothers in the world today. And even a sadder note is we have a lot of elder brothers in the church today. People who are faithful to their God in service, people who are obedient, people who are not given to that loose worldly living that other people are. They are hard workers in the church, but they cannot bring themselves to forgive and let them come back. They can't bring themselves to love this person again that has walked away from them. And that's all the father was trying to get the brother to do. Love your younger brother. He is home. He is back. We're together again. It may be this morning that there is someone here that is like the prodigal son. It may be that you have walked away from Christ, Christian living. And you've been with the father. You've been with the family. And you know how wonderful that is. But for some reason or the other, you've gone back into the world. You have done what the prodigal son did. And it's time, my friend, that you come to your senses and come back home. And then it may be that there are some here today that are just like the older brother. Yeah, you stayed here. You've worked here. You've been a part of this family here. But you have developed an animosity to someone else. Someone you don't want to love. Someone you don't want here. Someone you want to see walk away again. You're not wanting to forgive. You're not wanting to make the family whole. You need to repent of that. You need to change that attitude so that we can be a family that is whole in Christ. This morning, it is our prayer that there are no prodigals in this room, whether as the younger son or as the older brother. So if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ to rededicate your life or to give your life to the Lord, please do so now. while we stand and sing.